Hello, this is Big Hmijak from BPM Tips, and today we are going to dive into the topic of digital transformation. And I have great guest today with me, Alberto. Alberto Manuel is an expert at Microsoft.
That's correct.
And he has over 15 years of experience in design, improvement, adaptation, and implementation of business processes, creating a vision and designing frameworks and methods to enterprise transformation, preempting the challenges of organizations. Alberto is also a chair of an awesome BPM conference Portugal and postgraduate on BPM. First of all, thanks a lot for joining me today.
Thank you very much for the invitation, first of all.
Alberto, this year you organized a great conference where digital transformation was one of the main topics. Could you share what could we expect in BPM in 2017 and beyond?
Well, I would say that when we are hearing people talking about digital transformation, I think that there is a very misconception about what digital transformation actually means. So let's start with real examples. When people say that, well, when I'm engaging with the bank, when I'm doing banking and I receive my statement that now it's digital, that is not definitely digital transformation. So digital transformation today, it's actually how you change your business model. And this is a fundamental shift between what we have seen before. If people that have a lot of experience, for example, in change and transformation programs since, let's say, the dark ages or the old ages, where we are only focused on workflows and operational and transactional operations and how to improve it. Despite the fact that today that's still important, that is not the main focus of digital transformation. So let's start, for example, with banks. So banks today, they are not doing banking as we suppose we were used before. So banks today, they want to do banking out of the bank premises. So for example, when you are looking for a house and you want to buy a house, the idea is how you can actually can get a quote and actually can, let's say, close a loan contract without even to go to the bank. We are talking about things today like how, for example, banks are offering new ways of doing trading services. So imagine, for example, that you need finance or you need, for example, to do an operation that is going to connect a buyer, a broker, and a seller. And the idea what today banks they are providing, it's an open platform where you can actually, you know, self-serve, you can get, let's say, a letter of credit, and you can share all the information between the parties that are the manufacturer, the receiver of the goods, even the logistics company, where you can share all the information, taking in consideration all the contracts, all the bindings, all the information where the merchandise is being located, regardless if it is being transported by a boat or if it's being transported by train or if it's being transported by truck on real time. So this is what digital transformation means today. If, for example, we are looking for, let's say, chemical companies. So I've been talking, for example, with some executives that chemical companies that, for example, they provide fertilizers. Now, there is a huge shift between what is the classical mining operations and producing the fertilizers and putting that into the market. So today there is a tectonic shift between how, for example, these fertilizers companies, they are making custom products that are linked with the conditions of the farming environment. So they are creating custom products based on the information which is coming from the ground. And when we hear, for example, today, tech companies saying, yes, of course, or the collision of the famous forces like internet, cloud, social, blah, blah, blah. Let's stop for a minute and think that in some remote locations where farming occurs, there is no internet. So I think we need to start looking at, okay, so if we don't have internet, how I can go digital? And going digital today, for example, in farming is how I can connect the conditions from the ground, like the environment, the weather, the way the crops are growing, and how, for example, I use a feature phone and I ask the farmer to collect that kind of information. And it's retro feedback to the producer of the fertilizers and how we induce the change and create custom products in a way that he fine tunes the product that in the next crop, in the next harvest, it is going to increase the volume. And how we can, for example, extend this kind of open ecosystem to a trading platform where the farmer, you know, he can get the best from its product, he can make the most of the money. And at the same time, how, for example, some government where agriculture, for example, plays a key role or key aspect in GDP growth, how we can, for example, this link all this together from a returns perspective, and I can do taxing on real time. So this is what actually real digital transformation means. Another example, it's healthcare. So healthcare, for example, before, let's say in the old days, healthcare was about, you know, providing, let's say, surgeries, you know, then make the reconciliations or the claims that you made from the medical act. Healthcare today, it's about how you can, for example, monitor on real time your vital signs and how you can, for example, prevent a person to die and how we can extend the lifespan of that person because we are monitoring the conditions about how that person it's you know it's behaving. And today, for example, we can use amazing technologies like, for example, machine learning, how we can actually predict human body failure before it happens. And now I can extend that person's life. This changed completely the way how we are providing healthcare services. So digital transformation today, of course, that in between there are, of course, processes, there are operations, but the focus today is how I change my business model. And if you see, if you look to companies like, let's say, General Electric, General Electric today, it's becoming an IoT provider. Rolls-Royce, for example, in the aviation business, they're not selling motors or jet anymore. They are selling, you know, hours of usage and how they can, for example, in real time, they help the pilot to steer the aircraft in order to decrease fuel consumption, in order to optimize operations, in order to predict failure and how to decrease the time the airplane needs to be on the ground for maintenance. So this is what digital transformation means today. And of course, in the foundations, we have the classical approaches of optimizing processes and transactions. But believe me, if we don't have this kind of mindset, most of the companies, you know, they are going basically to disappear. So it's a huge shift in the way that we look how a company should operate, rather than how I'm going to improve the way I can get, for example, reconciliation in my supply chain. So this is what I think digital transformation means today.
You mentioned many methods and trends. For example, IoT, business models. Which of the trends and technologies do you find most relevant for BPM professionals so that we can prepare to use them in 2017 in order to create value for the organization? There are lots of things. Which would be the most important ones that people should start learning today?
I think that there is no silver bullet or straight answer to that. I think again it depends in the kind of business that you are in, or in the kind of business that you want to be in the future. So if we're talking about, for example, manufacturing, even if it is discrete, so discrete manufacturing, it's related with let's say, consumption electronics or consumer goods or automotive. Or if we're talking about continuous manufacturing, which is more, let's say, oil and gas or chemicals, for sure, it's IoT. Because one of the key challenges, for example, in that kind of industries is how you monitor on real time your operations and how you, for example, you prevent your operations to become disrupted. So it's very critical for this kind of companies how you actually can, for example, predict that a pump or an equipment is going to fail, let's say, next week or within 2 weeks. And we know, for example, that in this kind of operations, when an equipment or an asset, it's broke, it's not an easy task to put up and running because we're talking about equipment that was custom made. And most of the time, we don't have the spare parts at hand. And actually, the repairs, the cost of the repairs when the equipment breaks down, it's huge. At the same time, we're talking about in this kind of new economy, we're talking about how, for example, we can divert operations on real time. Let's talk, for example, like commodities trading. So I can have, for example, a vessel full of oil. And I can divert the vessel to my refinery, to another refinery, because someone wants to make a spot contract, and I will make more money today rather than, you know, continue to send the vessel to the refinery that was previously allocated. So with this in mind, for example, in this kind of industries, I would say that IoT plays a key role on how we can ingest huge quantity of data coming from sensors that are spread across my asset network, and how I can actually have insights on real time, and I can make decisions on real time about the kind of operations I want to perform, or how I can, you know, keep my assets with very high availability, and of course it was going to increase throughput, sales. So it's one of the technologies that actually I see today one of the most important ones, for example, for this particular industry. If there is a need, I would say, how to make the combination to make better decisions, I would say that using machine learning together at the same time with real hot analytics, I think it's very important, where people actually can make better decisions in terms of prediction. For example, in banking industry, if you're talking about risk management functions. Today, the exposure that banks, for example, they have to risk, it's changing constantly. You can have liquidity risk, you can have collateral risk, you can have forex risk. This is so huge, the kind of exposure that, for example, banks have today. And the experience that I have is, before, even despite the fact that they can have advanced risk solutions, it takes a lot of time to have a snapshot and say, okay, if there is a shift in the kind of assets that we have in our hands, if there is a downturn in the economy, it takes a lot of time to actually to understand what is the risk exposure to the bank, and ultimately they can lose the ability to operate. They can lose their license. So using, for example, machine learning, you can actually create a lot of scenarios. And despite the fact I know people don't like to use the word predict, actually you can do better predictions when you actually can, you know, change the variables and see, okay, so if this kind of scenario happens, what is going to happen to the bank? And this makes a huge difference between, you know, you are operating in the dark, or you can help the executives to change the course of your strategy, because if you predict, for example, if there is any kind of downturn in the future, you can act today before it's too late. So I would see that IoT, you know, playing a huge role on how to bring, you know, that real-time awareness about how your company is operating. And if you need actually to play scenarios, to make predictions, to make better decisions, the combination with machine learning, I think are two of the hot technologies that I think it should be considered, of course, taking in consideration the kind of business you are in.
Thanks a lot. Now I would like to ask you, based on your experience in digital transformation, what are the worst ways to approach it? You already mentioned that some people think that if we are sending invoices as PDFs, this is digital transformation. So what are the errors in implementing digital transformation and how to avoid them?
I think that one of the key errors is when you focus on a particular solution or a particular function. For example, imagine that you have problems or challenges relating with your customers. And so the typical approach that companies pursue is, so we need an upgrade in our CRM system. Or imagine, for example, that you have, for example, challenges with your platform because it's not available. So the typical or best practice that you can do is to pursue a hybrid cloud architecture. And so the focus is we are going to improve our infrastructure. Now, the error comes because today companies are evolving to the era of the platform. And I'm hearing this kind of feedback coming from many C executives. They start feeling that they cannot, as a company, be in the market alone or to define the kind of partnerships or the kind of connections that they want to have in the market. We see, for example, banks today making partnerships with governments because, for example, of payments. It's a good example. So if they forgot that they are in an ecosystem where they need to provide payments, for example, using mobile money, credit cards, or debit cards, or the classical operations that banks are providing. If they forgot, for example, the huge opportunity which is being played on there, which is using blockchain, that actually is going to disrupt completely the way operations are being executed. But if we forgot, for example, that they need to start providing other ways on how to allow citizens and companies to engage with the governments, because governments today, they are also transforming themselves and they are pursuing very aggressive strategies on e-government programs. If they do not facilitate the way they interact with citizens and with companies, they are going to be out of the market. It's as easy as that. So when we are, you know, being and entering in this era of the platform, and the era of the platform is how I construct an open ecosystem where anyone can engage with me, just for example, using, I do not want to enter into technical details, but let's say we want to create an API ecosystem where anybody just can engage with me by the virtue of connecting to my API. This makes a huge shift in the way I interact in the world that I am in. So going back to my previous point, if we only focus with, okay, so we need to change the way that we engage with our customers, so our next venture should be a CRM system. It's okay, it's part of the application ecosystem. But if you are only focus and if you have a very narrowed focus on a particular system or a particular function, you basically are missing the big picture. So what is happening today is companies, they are building open platforms, regardless of the mode you want to interact across all the value chain, in order to actually you can enable different ways on how you connect and you transact into the market. And if you don't build this kind of story, if you don't look to your value chain and say, okay, so What are the kind of solutions that I should support across all my value chain? How this links together into my platform? How you actually don't build your own transformation story, your own transformation strategy from end to end, if you continue to be focused on a particular solution, on a particular challenge, and you try to improve that, you're going to miss the big picture. And I think this is one of the key errors that companies are pursuing today, and definitely this should be avoided, because you cannot control as a company anymore the way you are in the market. Just can't. You see competition coming from anywhere. So you see new companies. You know, you have the examples of fintechs in banking and in insurance companies. These guys, they come from anywhere and they start eating your market share out of the blue. So if you don't find a way of making some kind of partnerships with them, when you look around, they are already eating your market share, because they are much more advanced in terms that they provide their solutions. But again, you cannot be solely focused on a particular challenge or on a particular part of your value chain. You must have the big picture. How we are going to transform ourselves across all our value chain, instead of only focused on a particular domain. I think this is one of the key aspects that companies should avoid.
Thanks a lot for this overview of the market. Now I'd like to move slightly lower in the organization. Imagine that you're a manager of BPM team. The board recently changed. Maybe they don't know about the transformation. They have no clue about BPM. They are, let's say, traditional managers. And you have 3 months to show BPM value to organization so that they can listen to you when you tell them about digital transformation and other things that you told about in the previous question. How would you approach this? How would you build your credibility so that they are willing to listen to you?
Well, the question is, it's a little bit tricky, because I think it depends on the context of the corporation. I would say that to build credibility, you need to choose. First of all, you need to assemble a team, and that team must be driven by a proper change management approach. And a change management approach is going to include things like communication. Is going to include things like readiness of the team in terms of how they are ready, to understand the new techniques, the new approaches, the new mindset, how to change things are done. You need to have a strong coalition internally, because otherwise you can start to push change in different kind of ways. If you don't have the correct support, if you don't have the correct, let's say, facilitators, that are people that most of the time they don't own a formal or a particular position in the company that provides them power, but are the kind of people that actually have informal recognition and it can open the doors and help out to people to change their behavior. You don't go anywhere. So I would say, from one hand, you need to have a proper change management approach. Otherwise, you can bring all the best technology, all the most advanced technology. It's basically going to fail. On the other hand, you need to bring some kind of credibility when you start showing value. For example, let's consider a scenario where you have a company where most of the people, they still collaborate inside of corporate boundaries or the corporate premises. And if actually you want to enable real digital transformation, how you can put people becoming, let's say, digital, if they still work glued to a desk, glued together to an elephant called a desktop? How you can change people's mind in order to go digital if they still operate in the good and classical way. So you need to enable people to work anywhere, anyhow, regardless if they are, you know, using tablets or if they are using mobile devices. Regardless of the platform, it can be Windows, iOS, Android, it doesn't matter. So for that purpose, you also need to put on people's head how to become digital, meaning that if you participate, for example, in meetings, why you need to come to the premises where you can, for example, you can have your meeting on the go in your home, and you can share all the documentation in a shared repository, when everybody knows that if they access that kind of documentation, they know it's the most updated, there will not be scattered information on endless emails where people don't know what is the latest version that they can send, for example, for the customer. How, for example, I can enable people to work together if I, for example, I create a virtual digital workspace where I have my tasks, I have my documents, I have my team engagements, and it's my virtual workspace where I know when I am there, I know, even I can work, for example, with partners. Imagine, for example, I want to spark a marketing campaign. And part of that marketing campaign, it's held or it's executed by a partner. How I can, you know, invite my partners to be part of my team and work together in this shared workspace. So my point is, you can, you know, make huge investments in technology, as I was referring before, that can bring a lot of competitive advantage. But if you don't, you know, change the way your workforce works, if they continue to have the same kind of approach, if they're not becoming also, you know, with a digital mindset, it's going to be the first resistance barrier on the journey of your digital transformation. So this also puts a huge shift in the way people work and people operate. So they also must be ready to become digital. If you are, let's say, creating mobile apps for your customers to engage, which is good. And then your own people, they don't have mobile apps where they can do their work, or they can do their back-end transactions of operations. What is happening is you are putting a lot of change in the way you interact with your customers, but then in the back end, everything goes like it used to be. And one way or the other, the customers will continue to start to feel that things are not optimized. So you need also, if you want to bring change in the way you interact with your customers and the way you are in the market, you also need to bring the same kind of practices with your workforce. Also because of the fact that people today, they want to operate in the same way they are used in their personal lives. So if you create barriers to collaboration, even people, you know, they will not feel that they are working in the correct company. So you cannot have this kind of disconnection where you have very nice technology, very nice operations in the way you interact with the market, but then in the end, in the back end, you still have people working in the old-fashioned ways. This is not going to work. So it's very important also in part of your strategy that you look internally and say, okay, how we are going to enable people to work differently, and how we are going to make those kind of things happen. Let me give you an example. This can be very awkward, but I've seen this in many companies. There are investments that CIOs going, for example, for mobile. And mobile is not going to turn back. Actually, I think 2 weeks before, there was a report from IBM saying that in Black Friday and Cyber Monday, for the first time, there was a huge shift that 57% of the transactions were done using a mobile or a tablet. So this is not going to come back. But how you as a company, you know, you make your own investments in mobile, but then people don't have mobile assets to interact, or even if they are bringing their own device, you do not enable in the same way your workforce to go for mobile. So this doesn't make any kind of sense. And I've seen this across many companies. So if you do not enable your workforce also to become and operate in digital, this is going to be a major setback that must be avoided. So I think this is one of most of the critical aspects, together with the change management approach. It must be put on the table. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
You talked about the importance of change management. Do you have any favorite approach, any favorite method of managing change? Of course, I know there is no silver bullet, but you just take one book and everything works fine. But
well,
maybe some good practices.
I am a change management certified professional by ProSci. It's one of the methodologies that it can be used. But even, you know, even in the ProSci forums, people say, and I also based on my experience, there is no common approach. I mean, there are guidelines, but one thing is you have a guideline. Otherwise, if you bring, let's say, a ProSci approach or any other change management methodology approach, and you use that as concrete, as a rigid way of managing change, it's not going to work. So you need to be smart in how to make changes and how to use the change management approaches as guidelines, and then as you fine-tune, taking in consideration the challenge, the culture of the company. So there are many aspects that you must consider. You just can't, you know, deploy, oh, this is how we do change management. Definitely is not going to work.
Thanks a lot. Now I would like to ask you a little bit tricky question that I ask to all the participants of the BPM Value Summit. How do you see the future of BPM in 10 years?
Well, that's the magic question that in the forums people raise, like also the typical discussion like BPM is dead. I would like to answer the question probably a little bit different. BPM, if we look probably, I don't know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, it was very different. So in the early beginnings, this was always about, you know, modeling processes, workflows, and that was that. Then we start to see a very strong focus on redesigning operations. Then we start seeing, you know, the combination of different kind of approaches, like, for example, if you want to make small increments, you'd use, for example, Six Sigma. Then you start, you know, with the looming of more advanced technology, you start, you know, things like systems coming out of the typical workflow automation. We will see the looming of case management. We see the looming now of this new breed of technologies like advanced analytics. I see BPM in the future to continue to integrate a multitude of approaches. And I think this is what the beauty of BPM it's all about. Saying that BPM is going in a particular direction or another direction in 10, 20 years, I think it's very difficult to define, but I definitely see that BPM is going to continue to become an aggregator of different kind of approaches on how we're going to bring better companies, transforming themselves, changing, because the change effect in companies, it's a reality, it's always a reality. I think that it's a common denominator. What it's actually different is before you defined a transformation program for 2-3 years. Then it became for 1 year. Then it becomes for half a year. And now, well, I don't know, but I know some companies, for example, in telecoms, they are changing every 2 weeks, bringing new approaches, new offerings. We are becoming in constant change. So I'll say that BPM in the future is going to continue to be, you know, the common denominator of business transformation and change, but it's going to bring more and more approaches, new ways of doing business, new ways of thinking how we should operate. You see now new approaches like, which is being consolidated, like design thinking, inclusive design, so many other approaches that today are being used by companies. So this is how I see BPM continue to evolve and to bring new approaches on how companies should change.
Thank you very much. Now the last question. How can people connect with you? You're doing lots of interesting things. You're organizing a BPM conference Portugal. Next year, I think it is about artificial intelligence. You're writing a blog. So what are the best places to follow you and be up to date with what you're doing?
I would say that once that I'm still a little bit, let's say, analog, despite the fact we live in a digital world, I think the best way is going to my blog. My blog has all the pointers if you want to follow me on Twitter or the updates on LinkedIn, or even if you want to follow the kind of things or my thinking I do in the professional life, it's to go to my blog, which is ultrabpm.wordpress.com. I think it's the best way. It's my hub where people can connect with me and try to figure out the kind of things I'm bringing to the community.
Thanks a lot for the interview. It has been a real pleasure.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I hope that the kind of insights are useful for your audience. And thank you again for the invitation.